No job is too small, but treat every job as the most important job that you're going to have.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're joined by Ryan Poole, a young coach whose path has taken him from high school to the college ranks. He started his journey training players with Driven Basketball before jumping into the AAU world with Pro Skills, then moving on to Strawberry Crest High School. He later would step into college basketball as a manager at Miami University, gaining experience on the operations and video side before landing his current role as video coordinator at Arizona Christian University. In this episode, we discuss a deep dive into the video coordinator role and everything it entails beyond just breaking down film, what a structured and effective film session actually looks like, and the biggest learning on the job moment when he realized how different the college level is compared to high school. Please welcome to the podcast, Ryan Poole. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Ladies and gentlemen, coaches, everyone out there, welcome back to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts here, Alan and Doug. Today, on another day to chop it up, talk some hoops, we have a member of not only the Rising Coaches community, but somebody who is also in the business, video coordinator, Arizona Christian University, Coach Ryan Poole. Coach Poole, welcome.
Fellas, thank you for having me. You guys have done a lot for me just being part of the community in a short time. So thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Nah, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for the support. It means a lot to us. This is great. Glad to have you.
No, definitely great to be able to have you. I know Mage, you two have talked a lot, but it's great to be able to at least meet you from this end and talk to you a little bit more, get to hear your background. And I know for people out there listening too, there will be a lot of different things that we can talk on. Specifically, I know we'll touch a lot on your video coordinator position, what that entails, what that looks like, because a lot of times that's where people get started, right? That's where the progression starts as you move up and people want to be those assistant head coaches. Really just going into that, like the opportunity at Arizona Christian, what made you feel like it was the right place? So obviously you had stops before. This wasn't the first stop. You worked your way up going from Driven Basketball, AAU, Strawberry Crest High School, being at Miami University. But just talk about how that opportunity transpired going to Arizona Christian and how that came about to start your college.
Yeah, so I'll start at Strawberry Crest. It became a full circle moment for me once I got on campus, but I wouldn't have had the opportunity if it weren't for Phil Beckner and Driven Basketball. Phil introduced me to Coach, like very grateful for that connection. But I'll start with a story. When I was at Strawberry Crest, we had a team outing and one of the girls' parents, who I had never met before, she came up to me. She just introduced herself, and two, she's like, thank you for being a part of the program. Thank you for impacting my daughter. But I wanted to come and talk to you because she said, word for word, she said, God has been speaking to me through you, and I wanted to let you know that he hears your prayers and you're going to find your brotherhood. So wow. That was that. And that was really powerful. And I was like, wow, I've never met you before. And like that kind of hit. So I go to that season ends. I'm coaching at Pro Skills. Dave Severance, another mentor of mine, he's a scout for the Pacers now. He's been an NBA guy for a long time. He sends me an email about Beckner looking for guys to help out for player development for the summer. So I thought about that long and hard. I had a full-time job in Tampa, Florida, working as a data analyst. And in order for me to do that, I would have to quit that altogether. So it was a tipping point moment, like, hey, am I all in? This is like my go for it. So after consulting with family, friends, reflection, prayer, I chose to make the leap. I drove 2,000 miles to get out to Phoenix for the summer and did Driven Basketball with Beckner. And Fawn Compton, unbelievable coach, unbelievable player development guy. I think he's one of the best in the business too. So shout out to him. So for the summer, I spent time with those guys doing everything from operations, helping out on-court workouts, facilities maintenance, anything that they need to keep the program running on-court and off-court. And a great opportunity, Formula Zero, happened to be a part of that, Damian Lillard's clinic. And that was an incredible experience. So all of that kind of happening at once, it was a little bit, it was awesome. It was overloaded. Just everything was exactly what I needed. And then having just put my head down, grinding, just staying in the moment. Like, I know I'm not in a huge position, but what can I control? Just being the best intern that I can be. And if I'm doing things the right way, things will work out how they should. And that, doing that, I built a better connection with Vaughn. Phil trusted me more and more. And then we started having conversations, and the conversation finally came up. We went to dinner after working out some Suns guys one night. And he goes, "So what do you want to do with your career?" And then that kicked it off. And I told him I thought the college route would be where I would fit. I felt connected to those guys more, their energy, and then my prior experience from Miami of Ohio to, I love the college campus. I love the energy. I love the environment. That got me going, and I've missed that a lot. So he connected me with Coach Rutter at Arizona Christian, and I went out there just to have a conversation. And I'm walking around campus, walking around the facilities, and on the wall, there's a scripture. It's Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." It's been my favorite piece of scripture for a time now. That's one that's resonated with me, and I think it resonates to coaching as well, and just being on a team. And that's on the wall. So for me, like, the writing was on the wall and all of that. Rutter being a great guy, super sharp. I think he's an unbelievable coach, X's and O's, and just a really great person. The writing was on the wall for me. So Arizona is.
That's wild, man. And the beauty of it is how basketball shrinks the world. Dave Severance is a friend of ours, Rising Coaches. He actually spoke at our clinic in Vegas, not this summer, but last summer. And saw him out here a few weeks ago. He actually came to our first game. And so just got to see him. Unbelievable guy. The people that he's connected in this business is endless. It's just funny how it's just names continue to pop up. Here we are. I've gotten to know you a little bit, and I remember the day you sent that text about Arizona Christian. I was like, wow, because that the Phil Beckner thing was just, that had just happened. And I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't he doing this? And now this just happened. So when I just an incredible story of connecting the dots there. And it's funny, probably you heard that player's parent voice in your head when you're walking up to Arizona Christian's campus and you see that scripture on the wall, then all of a sudden it's okay. Now I get what she was hitting at way back then. Didn't know it was going to play out like this, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the future holds, but I've heard that voice for a long time. I keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing is, like, you don't realize, and this is something that I've feel like I've known, but you just don't necessarily think about it, is one little thing that you say to a stranger can completely change their day. And say for that instance, maybe they knew exactly who you were, maybe they didn't, or maybe they just said that just to enlighten someone's day, but it stuck with you. It's resided with you this whole time. It's gone with you throughout your career. And now you're saying it's still playing in your head, like something like that. And there was one day just completely off the wall, but someone came up to me, said something really nice, and I just gave a compliment and then just walked away. And it was one of those, you're like, wow. Okay. And you like feel good about yourself. You like want to, you're happy about it. But then at the same point, you don't realize like some random stranger just said something. You just completely changed someone's day and you have no idea whether you did or not. So it's always good to say those things. And especially later on, you might run into that same person. That's how you form a relationship. That's how things can progress. But doing it with good intentions at the end of the day is, it's great.
when somebody says something and then it happens, it blows your mind, right?
Like, what did you know?
I was dating a girl back in grad school, and she lived right outside of Columbus, Ohio. So one summer I go back to hang out with her, and she was rollerblading. I was on my rear end as we're going through Ohio State's campus. And so we go to St. John Arena, and we just duck our head in there. And when I was a manager at Purdue, that was always my favorite place to go. And so, again, this is 1995. And I just said, man, this is what a place. I'm looking around St. John Arena like a little kid. And I said, man, this would be a great place to coach someday. And literally, without hesitation, she goes, oh, you will. And so fast forward to 2004, 9 years later, I first get to campus. Guess who's the first number I dial when I get to my office?
It's this middle school girlfriend.
Former girlfriend now. She had been married and all that. This was 9 years later, and she's married and got kids. And I said, you'll never guess where I'm sitting right now. I said, remember what you said about 9 years ago about where you said I'd be coaching? And it was just one of those full circle moments. So I say that to say we can totally relate with what you just said and how powerful that was. Like to walk into that gym and see that verse and, you know, how that's the beauty of our careers. You never know how things are going to play out. But the best thing you did is you took a leap of faith. And that's what people need to hear that are going to be listening to this pod when it drops is you took a leap. You could have had your comfort zone and did the data analyst thing and all that, but you took a leap. I had Chinese food 2 weeks before I got the San Diego job. And the fortune cookie said, there's great beauty on the other side of your comfort zone.
Those things speak wonders.
And 2 weeks later, I'm out here. Okay. That just goes to show you. But no, that's a great story, brother. That's awesome.
Sometimes fortune cookies tell you you're going to have a good day and they lie. But for the most part, those things are always right.
Yeah, as long as the food's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk about my bad. I was just going to say leaning in towards you taking that leap of faith, as Alan said, like you take that leap of faith, you get that first opportunity. As we mentioned, you've had previous experiences before. This is not your first college experience, but it is your first ultimately full-time position outside of your manager position. Talk about getting from that high school, going from a manager to now being on a staff and really just, was there anything like if you had to say there was a moment where I was learning on the job moment or you realized how different high school was to college, or that first moment that you're like, I'm here. What was that moment? And then just what did that teach you so far in your young career?
I think that that first kind of welcome to college basketball moment for me was live clipping a scrimmage through Synergy. So it's like, I had some background knowledge of Synergy. I'd had some working experience of it from previous stops, but never the full on. Okay. Game's live. Now I'm cutting, now I'm editing. I'm trying to get live edits and clips to show for halftime. So one of my duties is for every game, I'll have my laptop on my lap the entire game. So the game's going on, I'm watching the game on my laptop as it's happening in front of us, but I've got a lag. So it's usually about a minute behind. So everything that I see as it comes through my feed has already happened, but I'm live clipping the game and then just looking for, my main focus is, okay, where are we breaking down defensively? What actions are we struggling to defend? And then I will clip those. I'll have 5 to 7 ready to show at halftime. And then I'll bust into the locker room, be the first one in there, hook up to our big screens and then run them on a loop for the guys to see where they're getting beat, and then for the coaches to come in and then also see, okay, we're getting beat here. Okay, I can live with giving up this bucket. That's a fine shot. Like mid-range, tough contested two, we gave that up, fine. Like, all right, we got beat, we gave up a wide open three, we got to adjust. So yes, that was, luckily for me, it was the very first game of the season and it didn't matter. It was a throwaway. Not a throwaway, every game matters, but it was just a scrimmage, loose, didn't impact our record or anything of that nature. It was the first time that our guys were really playing together. We got a bunch of transfers, so we're integrating new pieces, seeing how everything works. Our staff's getting our footing, working together again in the start of a new season. I had connectivity issues for one. So that was, I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. And then two, like I didn't have my hotkeys as well thought out as they could have been. And I've since fine tuned that. So I'm running efficiently now and it's just click, click. And now we're running.
You know what I love about this? Doug's going to probably get into this more as we move forward, because you're educating people about a position. This role has changed so much over the years. I'm dating myself now, but as a manager at Purdue, I helped with video coordinator stuff, and it was deck to deck with an assistant coach. Yeah. One VHS stacked on top of the other, and you got play going on one and play pause on the other. And it's like, all right, but I love this that you're educating people about a position, because much like ops in a way, a VC, you literally have to try to stay and think one step ahead, almost for the head coach in a sense. So talk a little bit about some of the conversations you have with your head coach as far as trying to get in his head to see what he wants the team to see.
Yes. So we will talk either before practice, after practice, before the game, and he'll just identify focus points. And that'll be a question that I'll have for him. I'll be like, okay, what do you want me to focus on today? What should I be looking for? What points of emphasis do you have? And then whatever he's trying to stress to the team on any given day is where my eyes will go. And so that's what I'm looking for. That's how I'll adjust my routine. And then just for the role itself, a video coordinator for me, like I'm thinking, look at that video coordinator in doing the game edits and the practice edits is my primary duty. But I think of my position as anything that makes the life of my head coach or my assistant coach's job easier. So I'm checking with them, like, hey, like, what's on your plate today? What can I do to help? What can I help you knock out? Whether that's film work or, hey, we had a new locker room at the start of the season that was being built, and we had a couple lockers get sent in that needed put together. Like, hey, we need to put together these lockers in the locker room. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. So I'll go into the locker room and I'll spend an hour or two, whatever it took, to put together a couple lockers and slide them over into the corner.
Yeah.
No, anything operationally on the back end, whatever you can do to make the life of your coaches easier.
Yeah. No, that's it, man. That's it. To a T.
Big thing I want to make sure to point out in that too, and you said in the beginning, and then obviously there is like the problem solving aspect of it. I feel like that's a lost art, because a lot of times, like you mentioned, connectivity issues. And one thing that a lot of people who necessarily now, if you only know what you know, right? Like that's the one thing I always try to tell myself is, as a younger coach, you don't necessarily know. And I look back, and if you didn't have an answer to something, you're like, I got to go ask the head coach. One thing that I've learned moving on is to be more, to try and figure it out yourself, to try and solve the problem. And then once you absolutely exhausted all of your options, then go to the coaches and say, hey, maybe go to somebody else, depending on the level you're at. Like for me, I only have two other coaches on top of mine. There's only three of us. You obviously have other people. There's more tiers, but like depending on the tiers you have, but go to an assistant, then go to a head, but never bring an issue to the head coach, because he's got a million things. You always want to bring it to somebody else if you truly can't find problem or a solution for it. And then bring it on to him and say, hey, this is the issue. Like I had connectivity issues. I can't get the film up right now. I'm sorry. Is there another way? And then if you can't find it, find a different solution. I can hold it on my hand on the laptop, whatever it is, find a different solution. But that's the one thing is I feel like people are like, connectivity is not working. I can't show you the clips today. It's like, find another problem. Go find a different TV, set it up, find a different way to do it. Don't just bring it to him and be like, hey, I can't do it. Because that shows a lot more, I truly feel, than just, oh, hey, I can't get this.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for bringing that up. Like the head coach should be the last person that you go to. They have enough to worry about. So it's not that our job is important, but they've got things that are way bigger than a connectivity issue on their plate. So
what would you say in the time you've been there 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah, October 1st was my start. So
yeah, boy, that sounds familiar. But what would you say just in the short time you've been there, what is there one thing that you've learned just in general that maybe you didn't expect to learn? And that could be with the position, the role, that could be just meshing with the staff. There's really no right or wrong answer to that. Your answer is the right answer. Is there anything that maybe jumps out as far as that goes just in the 2 short months you've been there?
Knowing your schedule is going to be the most important thing that you do. But with that, I was thinking coming into it, having been at Miami of Ohio prior to and knowing how laid out everything was in advance. But again, I was a manager at the time, so my duties weren't as in depth either. I had my role within it, and I would do that to the best of my ability and I would move on. But I didn't get to see everything having not been fully immersed in the staff. I was just an ancillary piece. So seeing how things can change and then having to adapt and adjust, I think was part of my learning process and a big takeaway for me. Another thing that I'll say about the position and anyone who's looking to get started and make an impact in their first role, find their first role, is be adaptable. You talk about players and players being available and the best ability is availability. I would say the same thing goes for a coach trying to find their footing and trying to find their way. Like your schedule might only be until, we might only have workouts until 4 o'clock today, or we might only have one workout from 11:30 to 12:30 and then a practice from 2 to 4. And that's the whole day. But other things will prop up. Be ready for that text at 11:30 PM. Like if needed, like coach needs something, an assistant wants to see a piece of film or needs some help with a scout and they want you to look for something and pull an edit together. Be ready, be adaptable. The best ability is availability.
Yeah. Said. Amen to that.
Best availability is availability. I like that.
Best ability is availability.
I messed it up. Yeah. Best ability is availability. I can't even get it right.
Linguistics.
I like that. No, and the one thing I want to make sure to say too is, especially with something that you're mentioning, really a whole synopsis of everything that we have covered. If a coach can't trust you to do small tasks, how are they going to give you big tasks? And if you don't, sometimes that doesn't resonate with people and people don't understand that. But it's if you truly can't, if I can't trust you to make one phone call to a recruit, how am I going to trust you to be able to do a full film session or a full cut up? All you had to do was make one quick phone call a kid for 15 minutes and then walk away. But if I can't trust you to do that, how are you going to spend hours? It's just like the little things truly add up to the big things. And you never really understand it until you start to do it. So if someone gives you a small task, make sure you knock it out of the park.
Every job, no job is too small, but treat every job as the most important job that you're going to have.
So talk about those film sessions. You don't necessarily have to go full in depth, but just really everybody has their own method of a film session, right? Some people believe that maybe you can sit in the film room for 45 minutes and have to sit there and iron out so much stuff. Some coaches I've heard 15 minutes, 20 minutes, quick and efficient. So everybody has their own ranges. Just talk about what you have seen film session wise, the length that you guys maybe typically prefer. What are some things that you guys, and again, you don't have to necessarily give the secrets away, but more or less, what are some things that you focus on the most when you're cutting up film? Like defensive breakdowns, is it poor rotations? Is it ball screen coverage? And again, you don't have to go into too specifics. I don't want you to get into any trouble with it, but just more or less, what are some main things that you like to personally iron out? And then how long do those sessions typically last?
So a typical session for us, it'll range. So sometimes we'll watch film before practice. Sometimes we'll watch it after. And then we have our pregame prep. And those sessions will be 30 minutes or so. Trying to keep it to 30 minutes, and then we're back on the court. I think that's a good amount of time to where you can be engaged without losing the team. And then we'll have some shorter sessions, like when preparing for a scout, when we're looking at our upcoming opponent and studying the individual players and giving out assignments. We'll break those down into 15 or 20, but we'll do them multiple times. So we'll show those edits, the player personnel, multiple times throughout the course of a, throughout the course of a preparation.
Drill it.
Yeah. So 15-minute sessions on those, 30-minute sessions on the scout.
And the thing, I was going to say, the thing too about that is if you're spending 15 minutes on personnel, out of the clips that you make, it's probably only 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes worth of actual clippage. And then majority of the time it's pause, start, stop, talk, complaining.
Run that back. Run it back. That's the three most common words from the head coach in the film session. Run that back.
Hey, run that back. Go to the ball screen. Yeah, let's go to that.
So we might be in a film session for 30 minutes, but the actual footage might only be 10, but it's a bunch of 5 to 7 second clips.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Talk about this, Ryan.
What you need to.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Talk about this briefly, because we've talked about practice, things you do, scouting, prep, things you do, you know, with the team. How's that look? Which is great. You've given us a full picture of not just the role, but your role as well. One of the best parts I love about coaching is when you get a chance to sit with players and show them film. And you may be doing so many things. I know you probably get a chance to do that some. What does that look like for you right now? I know you've only been there a short time and trying to cut your teeth with the actual stuff that the staff needs. Are there windows where you get to actually sit with players from time to time and show them anything? Or is that something that you cut up and then let the staff do it? What does that look like right now?
I have the opportunity to do a little bit of both. I haven't done a ton of individual sessions with the players, but I've let it be known, like, hey, like, I'm going to dinner at the cafeteria. I'm going to have my laptop on me. If you want to sit with me and watch some film, or we can go over some of the plays that we have in the playbook, let's do it. So a couple guys have taken me up on that, and we've sat over dinner and gone through the playbook. A couple actions that they've had trouble with, and we've watched some film on it that we've had from practice, or we've drawn it out on a piece of paper just to better understand. And that's one thing that I've done, or made myself available.
Yeah, there's that word again.
There's
that word again. But no, I love that. I mean, I think the beauty of what you're talking about, that's only going to continue to grow, because you and I have really been in our roles here a couple of months. And that trust has to be earned. And I've even, just the times I've shown film to guys, I know I don't use the word good clip and bad clip. I use the word good clip. But instead of bad clip, I use the word teaching point. And I found that kind of creates more of a collaboration, as opposed to like bad clip almost feels like a finger wag. How dare you? Versus, hey, wait, when this happens again, think about doing this. Or consider this next time you drive and play off 2 feet, or whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? But I think what's great about your role is that just the deeper you get into it, the more you're there, the more you're around the players, the more those guys feel your commitment. That's going to be really fun for you, because you're going to get more time to spend with those guys individually as time passes.
Consistency is key in showing up every day.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. They'll feel that. They feel that. Mm-hmm. And those guys see in the building all the time. And sometimes you just pop in the locker room, you see a couple of guys, like, you don't need anything. They don't need anything. You stap them up. Hey, what's going on, fellas? Everybody good? You know, or pop into the training room and visit with the sick and shut in. The guys that are banged up, they need attention too. So just that kind of stuff, really, those moments add up. They're like pennies in the bank. It's only going to grow as far as the time you're spending with them, and not just the relationship time, but the video time with them as well.
And I think, on to your point about like just going through the room, dapping guys up, like, I love the great teams talk and touch. So I always make the point, like, you can't spend time with everybody every day. You might be able to hit a couple guys for a conversation, but I always make it a point to, at the bare minimum, at least give them a high five through the
something
in the room and greet them when I see them coming in. Make sure you dap everybody up. Same guy. Same thing in the locker room. Like, good teams talk and touch. Like, same thing.
No doubt.
Building a relationship or as a coach, like, just smile, make your rounds, bring some good energy, dap everybody up.
I'm telling you, that's a big deal, man.
There was something I saw recently, and I'm sure you guys probably have seen this. It was about Steve Nash, and they actually hired an intern at one point when he was playing. I want to say it was when it was in Phoenix, but they hired somebody to follow him and watch every possession and see how many times he gave high fives. And they counted all those high fives, and they counted to see how their team improved just by, because he was apparently one of the most, like, walks around, gives high fives to everybody, most physical. And they actually started counting that at one point. Look it up, because I saw it recently, if anybody listening was interested in it. But it's definitely unique because it talks about how he would just walk up to people, give them a high five. Even if there was nothing to say, you just give them one real quick. And then that touch was really bringing you closer. Because if you sit there and tell somebody, hey, this is what you're doing wrong, they could take it a wrong way. But if you go up, give them a high five, say, like, more in a positive tone, but give them a little physical contact. Depending on what it is, obviously not, but like the touch aspect was a huge thing, and the Suns really looked into it. And then Steve Nash actually was the pivotal point around. So yeah, look it up sometime if anybody's interested. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
I think also the, as either the 2009 Celtics that won it with Doc Rivers and KG and those guys, Ray Allen, I think they led the league in daps. I think they actually charted it. Somehow they charted it. I don't know how. Or maybe they just said they did because they won it. I don't know. But Kevin Eastman had told me that they basically had led the league in daps and touches. There's a transferable energy that happens. And that's what people have to realize. And one of our players asked me the other day, hey, coach, what's the premise behind, like, jogging down the floor late in game, getting in the huddles? And it was a walk on. It was an innocent question. And I just said, we just want to steal timeouts. I said, you get four timeouts in a game, but you get another 30 to 35 every time you huddle up. So the faster you can get the huddles, there might be one or two things that get shared, and you get five guys a chance to dap it up with each other again. But you steal 30 timeouts in a game, at least, between going to the free throw line, dead ball, whatever it is. And it connected the dots and it made sense to them. But great teams talk and touch for sure, man. That's a big one. I'm glad you said that. That was a diamond.
So just to give us a little more deeper dive into the video coordinator side of things, really, a lot of what we talked about is editing, getting clips ready. I know you do a lot more than that. That's obviously a general synopsis and a big portion of it, but I know there's a lot of other things that you do. I'm sure cutting up practice more, being at the practices, the games, I'm sure you do a little bit more, but just give, so then people have more of an idea of a video coordinator role, whether they're considering going into one or they're looking to get into the coaching profession. They know this is the first stop. Just give people more of an in-depth look as a VC. What are some maybe day-to-day duties? And I know they can change all the time, but what are some day-to-day duties and just a deep dive into the position?
Another thing that I'll do. So first thing that I do every week, and I started my morning with this. So we talk about, like, technology and how it advanced from just the video depth to high cameras that just sync to the laptop. So we have KeyMotion, and we can schedule out all of our practices and all of our games and all of our workouts. So the first thing that I do to start every week is I'll look at our schedule for the week, and I will set our camera up to record all of our workouts that we have scheduled for the week. So that's step one. And then from there, it's a combination of on-court and off-court work. So I'll be on court for our shooting workouts. I'll be on court for our practice. So today we'll have two shooting workouts, 11:30 to 12:30 and 1 to 2, and then practice from 2 to 4. And then I will go back home, and I will watch practice. Maybe I'll cut up some actions that coach wants to see and view for later. And then my big project that I'll have for this season is creating a video playbook. So I'm going through practices, I'm rewatching games, any set that we have implemented. If I find a good action where it's executed well, I'm adding that to the playbook. So the goal is to have a full playbook of well-executed clips to show future teams, and just to have that ready for the next person to come through, whether that's somebody else or just any coach or any player that's studying and learning and wants to see the action. There's a playbook of that action. So if we want to see, call it green. You want to see green? There's green. Here's five clips of green. Executed well. And that'll be, so that's my day to day. So it's setting up the camera, making sure we're scheduled appropriately, being on court, and then coming back later and reviewing it all.
Yeah. No, that's great stuff, man. I know Dougie's getting ready to land the plane here shortly, but one more question I had is, I'm guessing, and you haven't done this yet, but come into the season, you're going to be diving and doing some of your stuff video-wise in terms of the portal and pulling up information for guys that are in the portal. And obviously, you've already got some transfers this year. Some might be on their way out as one-year guys. Some may be coming back. Some may be, but you're probably going to be bringing in anywhere from 6 to 8 new players minimum next year. So I'm guessing that'll be another layer that's added to your role once the season ends, is probably compiling in some end of season stuff for the staff, but then jumping in and doing some portal preparation as well.
I'm sure. I haven't seen or heard anything on that front yet, but that's the lay of the land now. So
yeah, brace yourself. It's coming.
And I know how many transfers we've brought in this year compared to last year, and we're gonna be graduating a handful of players too. So we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, don't be surprised as the season wears on, the staff may just hand you a list of guys along the way, and maybe some from a different league or maybe within your league, and just say, hey, almost a pro personnel scout does. And just say, hey, this guy is going to be available, we think. Or if this guy does put his name in, keep this guy in the hopper at this. Again, it could be another school, could be a Division II somewhere, but they'll probably log some of that along the way. So once the season ends, you got some guys to look at. So, yeah, I'll definitely brace yourself on that one. That's coming.
I'm ready for anything.
We know that.
There's no surprises at this point. So right.
That's where the adaptability comes in. Stay adaptable.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. If it's 11:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, let's go.
That's right.
I'm ready.
That's great. No, it's definitely great that you got this opportunity. Thank you for being able to share the information that you have, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are either willing to step in or wanting to step into this, I should say, or hoping to in the future. And it gives them at least a little bit more of a broad idea as to what it looks like. And then it at least gives people, because a lot of times they're like, I don't want to get in the position. Maybe they're too nervous. Maybe they don't know how to cut up film. So it's great to at least be able to hear a couple little things, right? The little tendencies, the things that you do on a day-to-day basis. So we appreciate you for hopping on here, sharing with some of your fellow members, other people out there, and just giving more insight as to what this position details.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I know how this community is impacting me, and the listening to you guys and the podcast and the coaches that you've had on, just giving their insights and perspective, has been a gigantic help for me too. So glad to pay it forward.
No, thank you, man. This was great.
For everybody out there, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, yours truly, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, Coach Poole, thank you again for being on here. And for you coaches out there, keep working, keep rising. Hopefully one day you'll be in that VC role and we'll see you as an assistant, keep moving up the chain. Everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.